Discussions with Ajahn Suchin in Bangkok, January 2019. Recorded and edited by Jonathan and Sarah. Speakers include Sarah, Jonathan, Metta, Suchin, and Eve.
I have some questions from Nina that she would like us to ask. Some questions about the Nimitta. Her first one is, she says that the sutta text speaks about not being entranced by the whole nimitta and the nupiyanchana. What is the meaning of anupiyanchana details? Are these other nimittas on account of other visible objects arising afterwards?
Right now. Everything is right now. Do you see Kun Betty?
I think I see Becky. Actually, just a visible object. Nimitta.
So this is Nimitta.
Yes.
Right. And today, what does she look and wear and what?
Depending on the Anupiyanchana.
Yeah. Anupiyanchana. Yes. That's all.
And the Anupiyanchana, actually, they are Nimitta, but referring to the details. So it's
right
just,
now. It's everything just, is very daily life.
Yes. So it's actually just the details that are seen and afterwards thought about, because what is seen is just not a blank canvas, but actually the Nimitta and Anupiyanchana are there. But usually they're thinking first about the shape or the form and then about the
details. Like now, no matter it's the tree or the street or whatever.
And she says, after seeing Nimitta, looking more closely, details are perceived. Is the object at those moments still visible object or concepts? Could you ask, because it's difficult for me.
If it's seen in that very moment, it is visible object because it can be seen.
Yes. And no matter we're talking about the Nimitta or the Nupiyanchana or whatever, what is seen is visible object. So it's reality. And only when it's thinking about the details and it's thinking about the concepts. This is what I mentioned.
But, Sarah, you would say that the thinking about the details is thinking about the different visible objects that arise.
I mean, different.
Many, many.
Yeah.
Because Nina's question was, is the Anupiyanchana thinking, does that involve about many visible objects? Isn't that the question? That comes after.
Right. I think her question was, are these other nimittas on account of other visible objects arising afterwards, right?
Right.
But actually, the thinking is about the nimitta of
many, countless
visible objects. But still, each visible object that's seen, it has its own sign and detail. It has its nimitta. Anupiyanchana is just a kind of nimitta, so it has its kind of nimitta. But when there's thinking, it's thinking about many different nimitta and anupiyanchana.
I was thinking about the example, say, if Betty looks different today because she's not wearing glasses, that difference wouldn't come out if it wasn't they were based on visible object.
Exactly. Right. So the visible object has to be there, otherwise there couldn't be attending to Anupiyanchana if the visible object was exactly the same. And what I said to her was, for the Anupiyanchana, like if we're looking at the notebook on the table, the visible object is seen just as it is, just as that which is visible, or Betty with or without her glasses. But initially there's attending just to the shape and then afterwards to the details. And she said, I find this difficult because I don't know what Anupiyanchana is as Paramatta Dhamma, another visible object afterwards when looking at the letters of the newspaper, not the newspaper as a whole. This was her question. So her question, Ajahn, which she would like, because I answered, but she would like your answer as well. She says she doesn't know what Anupiyanchana is as Paramatta Dhamma.
It doesn't matter what we talk about this, just to know that the inner self, that's all.
Right.
So each word is not try to find out, but understand the nature of it as not self.
Right.
So if I could take another example. The whole page, it's still Anupiyanchana, Anupiyanchana, Anupiyanchana. Right.
It's visible object, it's Dhamma, which is anatta. Mm-hmm. And as soon as they're thinking about, well, is it this or is it that or is it Paramatta Dhamma or is it another visible object, then it's not understanding visible object that appears as it is.
I think, at least from the way I always understood it, once there the idea of a something with shape and form, that it's already in the mind door. So it's no longer a visible object as, say, color or whatever it is. Once it's identified in the mind as a concept, it's no longer a visible object. So I think to talk about what actually is, it's probably better to talk about what actually constitutes visible object and what constitutes a concept. And we know the concept is the things when we see them as shape and forms and we give them a name and so forth, and that's the concept. But the visible object, I mean, we've always assumed that it's probably color. And beyond that, it's shape and form and concept.
I was just going to say that what is anupayanchana for one instant may be nimitta for another and vice versa. So you can't define, say, newspaper as nimitta and letters as anupayanchana, because it depends what the focus of attention is. The example given in the text is that the body is nimitta and the hand is the anupayanchana. But then if you're examining a hand, then the hand is the nimitta and the lines in the hand are the anupayanchana. So there's no way of explaining.
If they're going to explain it without understanding the Dhamma, they can explain it that way. But if they're going to understand the Dhamma, there's no... The visible object doesn't have shape and form, whereas the concept, which is already in the mind door, would have the shape and form. So to talk about the hand as opposed to the lines on the hand is not really explaining the difference, wouldn't you say?
It's all metaphorically spoken.
Well, it depends on who's saying it.
The reality itself doesn't have shape and form at all, but when they come together, the idea is there, mm-hmm. as something.
Ah, oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
But it is, there is
so
a...
So the nimitta, at the point of being...
So
of
many,
the
nimitta
is
so
already
many,
shape and form.
Yeah.
When many, many visible yeah. objects that are seen...
Mm-hmm. Would
there
constitute
is nimitta.
A nimitta.
Mm-hmm. Not a nimitta, it's the thing that you think about yeah. as something, that's mm-hmm. all.
As far as I know, the texts don't say that realities have nimitta. What they say is that what is attended to is the nimitta, an anupayanchana, but it's not an attribute of the reality.
Only nibbana is the animita dharma. So each conditioned dharma has nimitta, only a nibbana.
It doesn't matter whether it has, but it is there as it is.
As it is, just as it is.
Ajahn, is it correct to say that after... seeing, there is thinking about that which is seen.
Certainly.
And this process of visible object, nimitta, and anupayanchana
follows
all the time. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't matter where the attention
right.
is, mm-hmm. what is, yeah. it's always yeah. mm-hmm. visible object, yeah. nimitta, anupayanchana.
Yeah.
And her next question is, I think you said there's an imitator of thinking
that's of a reality, but we learn also a concept has an imitator, thus also a detail has an imitator, and all this is confusing to her, and she's thinking of the sutta text about clinging to the nimitta and the details. So we talk about the nimitta of thinking of a reality, but also of nimitta of a concept too. Like when we were talking about...
For example,
about
when we say thinking, how many moments?
Countless. Okay. Just one
if moment. You'd like to use nimitta.
Yes.
Without that, it cannot be known.
No.
Would that be the nimitta of thinking or nimitta of...
Everything has nimitta because just only one cannot be experienced as it is.
Right. Every reality has mm-hmm. nimitta. Chitta, chitasika,
rupa. It doesn't have, but... the person of the reality which experience it, take it for that.
Mm.
it leaves nimitta because it rises and falls away rapidly.
Right.
So what appears is the nimitta.
Right.
That's not to say that the reality
has nimitta.
Has nimitta.
Right, right, I understand that.
Right.
Nimitta is what is experienced because the reality rises and falls away so quickly. Yeah. But that doesn't mean the reality has nimitta.
That's right.
It leaves a nimitta.
But now the question is, it's the realities that rise and fall. Concepts don't exist, they don't rise and fall. So we cannot say concepts have nimitta, right?
Well, when there is dreaming, this is the example we discussed previously, the dream appears continuous. The action in the dream appears to be continuous, even though it is momentary. So in that sense, also, it can be said that the way it is perceived is by way of nimitta.
So maybe that's a different meaning of nimitta to nimitta that's associated with realities.
It's still based on the rapid rising and falling away of the moments of thinking.
Hence my question, is that the nimitta of thinking, or is it nimitta of something else?
Whatever is known by nimitta.
Yeah, so it's the object of thinking. Nimitta of the object of thinking. So because it appears continuous instead of momentary.
What you would say is that the nimitta of the object is due to the arising and falling away of the thinking.
Certainly.
Okay.
And if we're talking about a dream,
there's the nimitta conditioned by the thinking arising and falling away. And sometimes there are concepts making it known, and sometimes there is just the nimitta. Is that?
Nimitta and concept is actually the same.
The same in that case. And sometimes, for example, in survey, because people ask, is nimitta, paramatta, dhamma, or concept? And we say it's the sign of reality. But in survey, you talk about, we have an image, nimitta, a concept on account of what appears through the eyes, or we're lost in the image of a person. This is the meaning of panyati. But sometimes you mention nimitta as being a concept on account of what...
Why not?
So nimitta is a concept then?
For sure. Whatever is not reality can be concept or nimitta or whatever.
Mm. So if we're talking about dreaming, so whether we say
what
nimitta or concept, it's
what
the
is
same.
Real?
The thinking is real. Mm-hmm. And what is thought about, so the nimitta or concept,
yeah,
is the
function
same.
Of memory.
Function of memory, no matter we call it nimitta or concept.
Yeah.
But usually then we wouldn't talk about nimitta of concept, we'd just say what is experience.
Reality, nimitta of reality.
Nimitta of reality.
Is there different between concept and nimitta?
Achan, there seems to be a difference because when we talk about nimitta of reality, we're saying that it's because reality rise and fall away very fast.
Mm-hmm.
They leave what John was saying, an after image that is not dependent on thinking, whereas concept is dependent on thinking.
Is there no sanya?
No what?
Must be sanya.
Yes. Is there no sanya?
There is sanya,
moment?
Yes,
so
there must
it's
be.
It's there, remember.
Remembering.
That's all.
But sanya is not thinking. Sanya that arises with seeing is not thinking.
What is thinking at moment of thinking? What are there at moment of thinking?
Vitaka in particular. Sanya,
not just
vitaka.
Yeah, everything there.
Everything.
It's citta that thinks, right?
Without cetasika, can it think?
It can't think without cetasika,
yes.
But it's citta that thinks, because the concept is
that's why we have to understand the distinction between citta and cetasika, no matter how many cetasikas are there with citta. But citta is the chief of experiencing the object, that's all.
Yes. And the object...
Conditioned by many cetasika,
yes,
performing their functions.
I usually think of rupa as a concrete thing. That which does not experience in citta is nama, that which experiences...
Only that which cannot experience is rupa.
But could I say that nimitta is of rupa?
And what about the nimitta of citta and chetasika?
It's just the memory of it. It's just the mark of it, the sign.
The
it
sign
doesn't
is
really
concept and nimitta.
Experiences.
The sign is...
But in and of itself,
concept
it
and nimitta.
Citta is the... Yeah.
Citta is the chief of experience. Anything at any time.
But since it's not...
Citta or jetasika, and it's just a sign, then it's a concept. So
when it's not a reality, it's concept.
Well, when it's, for example, if we talk about the...
Like in Vipassana Jnana, the direct understanding of the arising and falling away of visible object, it is the nimitta of visible object that's directly experienced, and then it's not concept, because we're talking about the sign of reality that is experienced.
But can anyone experience just one reality?
No, there must be, even in the case of the Buddha, there must be many different
but
realities.
Even so, it just... The sign of that, which is that, as the reality which had not experienced.
No. Okay. But it's still, we wouldn't say that. We wouldn't say that was a concept, because it's still.
But it's not reality; it's concept.
It's concept. Okay.
But concept of reality.
So even in Vipassana Jnana, when it's even if it's the Buddha's direct understanding of the arising and falling away of reality, the sign of the reality that has fallen away, it's still concept of reality.
So what does not have concept, or what is the concept?
Nibbana.
Only.
So everything else, it is the... So it's actually always the... When we talk about direct understanding of reality, actually it's the understanding of the concept of reality that is known.
But Buddha can experience and know about everything. Very, very fine, more than the other.
Yes.
So he can experience and talk about only one, so many, many.
Right. Yeah. So like in a sense door process, many cittas arising and falling away, and in that process, because it's one after the other, so it's not the direct understanding at those moments, but afterwards...
It is direct understanding when it's Vipassana Jnana, but it's still... Image. Or nimitta.
Image. So it's a kind of, it's one kind of concept.
Right.
Right.
And just only one. So how can one imagine the Vipassana Jnana? Because there are so many things.
Yes.
But just only one. So clearly, but one is nimitta still.
So it's actually a way of referring to different kinds of concepts in that sense. Because
one can say that when it's not reality, it's concept, nimitta, or sign, or whatever what they would like to say or call. That's all.
And usually, because we talk about, well, so like in the Buddha's case, it is the direct understanding of the nimitta of reality.
So then he say, it's the nimitta, because each one he experienced more than the other.
Yes.
Just only one.
Yes. And nimitta is translated as shape and form. So actually it is the direct understanding of the shape and form of reality, of the nimitta of reality. So before when you said, oh no, you cannot refer to reality as having shape and form or nimitta, but actually,
just
what is
one? Can it be?
It's still in the Buddha's case. It's still the nimitta of that characteristic or that.
But who
nimitta.
Knows more than him about just that one?
No one more. Yes. So, what is the difference in that case between characteristic, lakana, and nimitta? So, each visible object has the general and the individual characteristic, and each visible object, as we said, it is just as it is. So understanding the nimitta is actually understanding the characteristic of that reality. So in that context, what is the difference between...
It has its characteristic, otherwise it cannot appear as that.
Otherwise it cannot appear as nimitta. So it's like the nimitta of the lakana of the reality, we can say.
So, Chan, you're saying that if it's not reality, then it's concept. What's the value in pointing out that all realities, about nimitta, what's the value of talking about nimitta then?
Is that good, Jonathan?
It is. Well, they're seeing,
actually,
the thinking.
Can you find Jonathan when you're understanding reality?
Right.
So what's there?
So why not just reality or concept? Why nimitta?
What's there? Nimitta?
Think, no, seeing,
nimitta?
Thinking.
Or what? What's there?
Visible object? Thinking.
Nimitta?
Must be nimitta of visible object.
See his mother. Something I read. The Arahat doesn't see his mother. Doesn't know his mother. Just sees visible object, doesn't know his mother.
But still knows this is Ajahn, this is
Betty, this is mother, this is father.
Vipassana.
And I think nimitta explains why, even when realities are understood as they truly are by the enlightened being, there is still the idea of Sukhin and Sarah and people and things. There's no wrong view,
but the
world
that.
Still appears.
But since
in
the,
that sense,
since we're we're told that if it's not concept, if it's not reality,
reality,
then it's concept.
Is that right?
That is right.
Okay, we can go on.
And in terms of understanding, how is it useful?
Understanding,
because we are saying that even nimitta is concept.
Well,
even nimitta is concept. So
always,
why not leave it? It's just concept, another concept.
When there is no understanding, always concept.
But even when
there
is understanding,
we just talk little by little.
Yeah. Earlier, Ajahn said, "Is there a difference between nimitta and concept?"
I thought at one point Ajahn said that it's even nimitta is concept.
We can talk about concept or nimitta or sign or anything when it's not reality. Reality itself is real, but there's only one who can know that, because they arise and fall through it so rapidly. So what people, everyone sees, is people and things. Without idea or concept, how can you know?
What I'm hearing now, the point you're making is that not just one reality will condition the idea of Jonathan or this thing. There must be many, many moments of seeing and visible object, experiencing visible object.
Yeah. Look at his ear.
Right.
Is the ear Jonathan?
Ear is not Jonathan.
Can, and you call ear, how many single reality is there?
Many.
Many.
But still,
so break them all up.
Mm.
Is there just the ear?
There's no ear.
No matter whose ear.
Whose ear?
So there's the question of, in fact, in reality, there's no Jonathan, there's no ear, there's no head, but still, there is thinking in the end, rightly, that this is Jonathan, this
because
is Sarah.
Because the nimitta of the realities.
But you're coming from a position of, I want to classify everything as reality or concept.
No, that's what it seemed to sound like.
But it's not,
I mean,
necessary,
before,
it's not
before,
necessary to ask that question in the first place.
Okay. May I ask another question? I just was reminded by something Ajahn just said about Vipassana Jnana. My son, he read somewhere in the Dhamma Home website that even Vipassana Jnana is... I thought Vipassana Jnana was Pativeda.
Sure.
But he read in two places in the Dhamma Home website that it's not.
It is.
It is only
but there
the
are so many levels of Pativeda.
Pativeda can also be moments of enlightenment and moments of direct understanding. But on the Vipassana Jnana, about the example of the Arahat not knowing the mother, because when it is Vipassana Jnana, one reality after another is known as it is, no matter we call it reality or nimitta of reality. But afterwards, when the Vipassana Jnana has fallen away, then the world is as usual. There is thinking about Ajahn or Eve or no misunderstanding as usual, just like now. So it doesn't mean that because there has been the clear understanding of reality, of nama, of visible object, that afterwards there's no thinking about who is who or anything like that. But less and less afterwards, thinking less and less with wrong view, wrong understanding, until it's completely eradicated.
Can I just intercept a second?
The way I understand Namita is that it's a kind of a midway point.
It's now, just now.
It's now, exactly. Yeah. But without the Namita, there cannot be the concepts, okay, the full-blown concepts or whatever you want to call it. But you need to have a Namita in order to make sense, in order for the mind door to make sense of so many realities coming forward in sense door processes. That's the way I understand it. Is that correct, Ajahn?
So back on the characteristic.
Nina's next point was, it seems that sign and characteristic are the same, but actually the characteristic is the nature of the reality and the nimitta is the sign by which it's made known. And then she says, I think someone else asked the same, nimitta and lakkhana are different terms. If dharmas did not have characteristics which appear, the nimitta of them could not be experienced.
What dharma doesn't have characteristics?
So, like visible object, which is seen, it's just visible object. It's not something or anything there. That's mm-hmm. the point. Anyway, her point was that she finds the term characteristic helpful to know that it's not theory, can be directly known, but she's confused about the difference between lakkhana and nimitta.
Lakkhana is characteristic.
Yes, and nimitta is just the sign yeah. which makes it appear.
By which the reality is known.
And someone else says, so it's Namita that is now, while the dharmas have already fallen away. Is there ever a time for a non-Buddha where the Namita as object of consciousness follows immediately after the ceasing of its dharma in question, like even if it's Vipassana jnana.
As now, when people do not understand Dhamma at all, they just have the idea of people and things.
Right. But like now, when it's not the
Buddha. No matter when, yes. When there's no understanding.
So when it's direct understanding, for example, in Vipassana jnana, the arising and falling away of Dhamma, and we're not talking about in the Buddha's case, but when there is that kind of citta, can there be the direct understanding of the nimitta of that reality as soon as it's fallen away? That's the point.
Arising and falling away.
Yeah. So it has to be the nimitta of that mm-hmm. reality, yeah. that one reality yeah. immediately.
Yeah.
Otherwise it cannot be mm. known as such.
Mm. Nimitta
so
of reality.
Nimitta of that characteristic, the right. arising and falling away of mm-hmm. reality as soon as it has occurred in that case. So it's actually the direct understanding, Pativeda, is getting closer and closer to directly understanding the nimitta of reality.
The reality.
That has just arisen and fallen away.
So, nimitta is related to accumulations because it's the memory, the marker, and things accumulate, pile up? No.
Ajahn, so Pativeda, there's not just, because in the Dhamma Home website, it's referring to the 9 Lokottara Dhammas, including Nibbana, starting from Sotapatthimagga, Phala, and so on, that these are Pativeda. So that's one meaning of Pativeda, and as you say, even Vipassana Jnana is Pativeda. Mm.
Pativeda includes each Vipassana jnana and each moment of enlightenment.
That's what I thought.
Yes, so each Lokottara citta and each Vipassana jnana citta is Pativeda.
That's what I thought before, but apparently that was written in the website, that only these 9 realities are Pativeda, so that's why I had to ask.
Yeah. what it should mean is each, only these nine are Lokutra Dharmas.
What about the Vipassana Jnana before that?
That was my question. I mean, if
because
if
the first Vipassana Jnana is not the realization of Nibbana, see, but it is the first, and then go on until it's clearer and clearer. So
and even the first Vipassana Jnana, the Nama Rupa Paricheda Jnana, even that is not just Patipati. It can't just be Patipati. It has to be more than just Patipati. It is Patipati, but also more, isn't it?
Patipati begins from the moment of Satipatthana. So Patipati is not Pativeda.
And Chitta is the leader, and with Chitta are the Chetasikas, and Panya is a Chetasika.
So when they are Kusala or Akusala, Chittas and Chetasikas, they are accumulated. When it's result, like at a moment of seeing and hearing, there is Chitta and Chetasikas, but they're not accumulated at that moment.
And in the vehicle on the way here, Sarah, I asked about habits, and Jonathan interjected there are also wholesome habits, but habits that unwholesome can be eradicated by the arahat, an enlightened person, and that the other stages cannot eradicate this. They still have this, although the word for it escapes my mind.
The accumulation that the Buddha no longer has when he's enlightened, but the other arahats still have that tendency. That's what you're thinking about.
Mm-hmm, because more and more I see ignorance and the danger of accumulating akusala, and that habits or reactions or so forth happen. And to say to the self, for example, well, I won't do that again, I've learned I won't do that, and then conditions, and then, yeah, that's it. And then do it again, much to my, you know. So it can't be controlled. Yes, and it can't be controlled.
And you can see how strong the idea of self is. I will do this, and I won't do this, and this is my habit, and that's that. So it's all about self, instead of just understanding Dharma as condition, no matter what it is at this moment, whether it's attachment or ignorance or aversion. It's just a Dharma that's conditioned, no question of I doing this or that. Otherwise, it's just more the habit of clinging to self is just accumulated more and more.
Yes, thank you. And one other point on the
characteristics. So we can say all dharmas, for example, all sounds have the same individual characteristic, the characteristic of sound, yet each one is different according to their detail. Can we say according to their detail, their sign and detail, or we just, so each one has the same characteristic of being sound, but the details are different?
It is as it,
it is as
has
it
the,
is.
Yeah.
So the characteristics.
So each sound is anicca, dukkha, anatta, and each sound is different from each visible object because each sound is heard. So they all have the same individual characteristic of being sound. But furthermore, each sound is different from each other sound, different loudness or softness or whatever. So each one, the characteristic of that sound is different from each other sound, just as it is.
Is that correct, the characteristic of
just
each
right
sound?
Now.
Right now.
The sound here and the sound there.
Right.
But by characteristic, that is, as being object of hearing consciousness, there's no difference between one sound and another.
Really? So how can you tell this voice different?
Because they are different.
Because they are different.
In detail.
In itself. Like that sound. This sound.
Right. But if we are talking about the awareness of sound as just sound,
awareness-less mind at all.
Right.
It's just being aware.
Yes.
With understanding.
Right. So the understanding that understands one sound as...
as not self, as not anything at all.
Right.
Just only that, which
right.
is real.
Right. We talk about the characteristic of sound that, that is the object of understanding of the level of satipatthana.
Each has its own characteristic.
Oh, so sound comparing to another sound is different.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so it's thinking.
If the sound is not different, can the thinking think about different sound?
The sound is different, but the question is whether the understanding that understands the characteristic...
As it is.
But that characteristic is that it is just sound, object of hearing consciousness.
As it is.
Right. Yeah, well, it doesn't mistake the sound for something that it isn't, obviously.
The sound as it is, whether it's the high sound or the low sound or the loud sound or the soft sound.
Right, but the characteristic of that sound...
That is the characteristic.
Tone or pitch was not a characteristic of sound, though, is it?
Oh,
that's one of the details.
So, Ajahn, Panya knows the characteristic of sound as just sound.
A reality.
But it also experienced a sound, whether loud or soft.
As it is.
But it, that loud or soft is not the object of understanding, is not... It still is either loud or soft.
It doesn't think about soft or loud.
Right, but it's still either soft or loud.
Whatever as it is. See, everything is exactly like now.
I thought previously we had said that the characteristic of sound was that it was what is experienced by hearing consciousness.
No matter what.
Right.
Self or heart.
Right. Okay.
Or tone, whatever.
Right. Regardless of those details. Yeah. But it is experienced as it is, of course.
So I think what John's question is leading to is, Ajahn, we know that we refer to characteristic as particular and general. So sound is sound, and its general characteristic is anicchaṁ dukkhaṁ anattā. But is there any other meaning? Is softness and loudness also a characteristic? Can we call that a characteristic?
No time to think about it, because it is as it is.
That is what is meant when it said it's sound. That is what is meant when it's sound. It doesn't mean that it's just sound that is exactly the same each time. So when we say it, the individual characteristic is sound, that's what it's meant, that which is heard.
Because as soon as we start talking about it, we say pitch and all these other words, we're turning it into concepts anyway. So.
And even an arahat thinks between the vipassana, the deep understanding of realities, even an arahat thinks...
Let's take visible object, for example, whether what is being seen is a person or a thing or very light or very dark, it's still
visible object.
A visible object. Just visible object.
Just visible object, exactly as it is appearing
oh,
now.
Yes, yes. Yeah. It is seen as exactly as it is, but in terms of its characteristic,
as it is. What is seen?
What is common between the visible object now and the visible object of 10 minutes ago is that it is the object of seeing consciousness.
No matter each one is different. Yeah, no matter it's the one in the past or the present or the future or loud or soft or
right,
which one.
Or person or thing.
Yeah.
And it's the understanding of that commonness that is developed.
It's not self, because
not self.
The commonness is not self.
Another question in that direction. So, Ajahn, when we talk about realities, rupas, being either pleasant or unpleasant, what is that pleasant or unpleasant? What do you consider? That's not a characteristic, is it?
You talk about the feeling?
I'm talking about objects being pleasant or unpleasant.
By itself, as it is.
It's not a characteristic of the... It is just
saying loud or soft, desirable or undesirable, depending on how it's conditioned to be at that very moment. It's just like that. It's just the nature of that visible object. Just like some visible objects are very bright and clear and others are not. Some are desirable, some are not. It's just like that. So on this question that someone brought up about every conditioned dharma, we could say there's nimitta of every conditioned dharma, and is it because of the sabhava of conditioned dharma? If there is no sabhava of dharma, like those dharmas, those conditioned dharmas that don't have sabhava, can one still refer to the nimitta of them? For example, akasa rupa. It doesn't have space element, it doesn't have sabhava that can be known, it doesn't have its own characteristic that can be known. Can one still refer to the nimitta of it? Or
so we have to understand what is nimitta.
Yes. So again, it depends on it depends on the understanding. If there is the, if there's still going to be nimitta of it, so it, as concept or
when one has the right understanding that nimitta is only the sign of whatever when there's a reality.
Yes. So then it doesn't matter whether it has sabhava or no sabhava or anything.
But maybe I've heard but not remembered. But do these non-sabhava realities, are they even experienced directly?
Through...
Depends on the degree of understanding. Like for the Buddha, no difficulty to understand them, but for others, because it depends on the understanding of other realities.
Of other realities, that's what I was thinking. So when your question about nimitta, then isn't it the nimitta of those other realities that is ever the object, but the understanding understands that...
When time comes, you know... which one can be experienced.
Well, that was his point, because actually only the sabhava ones can be experienced or can be known by understanding now or when it develops. So if we're talking about if there's no sabhava, then there isn't any, this was the point, any sign of that reality that can be understood.
So
because it doesn't
be the sign
appear.
Of those other realities which have sabhava.
Yes, that was the point, because otherwise they don't appear. Like akasa, does it appear?
I'd like to ask a question. Because recently I had eye operations in which the lenses were changed. We understand this is all concept. However, when there is seeing, when it reaches the mind door and there is various concepts that are seen in the mind door, everything is clearer, brighter, sharper than it was before I had the operation. So how could that be explained in terms of reality? Why would changing a lens in the eye, which is basically a concept, allow for clarity of seeing the concepts.
Like with and without glasses.
Yeah, exactly. It's the same thing with glasses or no glasses. How does it affect the reality?
It doesn't affect reality. It's
only enhances
situation, right?
Yeah, so that's what I want to know. Is the reality affected by that?
Of situations about surgery and eyes and replacement of lenses, but actually each moment, each eye sense, each tiny rupa arises and falls away at each instant, conditioned by karma, not conditioned by the surgeon or
anything
else.
Okay,
so we're actually, if you're talking about the situations and you say, how can it be like this? It's never clear. Only when you think in terms of the realities themselves, the seeing, which is conditioned by the visible object, and the eye sense, and the eye sense at each moment, like even after an operation, sometimes what is seen is not clear, because each moment of eye sense is conditioned by karma.
Yeah.
Each moment of seeing is conditioned by visible object and eye sense.
So, So I'm still thinking in terms of a concept, which I'm saying is how do we think about this concept of a new lens in the eye? As how is it affecting the reality, or the reality is affecting that? Which one is affecting what?
Actually, in reality, there's no lens, there's no operation. There are just dhammas, there are just cittas, cetasikas, and rupas arising and falling away at each instant.
So what would we call them?
So we think about the surgery now.
Wait a second.
And the clear visible object. But actually, at this moment, each citta, each rupa is conditioned as it is.
As it is, okay.
Like even now, even though you've had the operation, you go into the dark room and you cannot see the shapes and forms, and the colors are not clear. So each moment, each reality.
Right. Okay. So the lens. I understand the lens is a rupa, but so it's basically okay. So that acts as the condition.
The lens isn't a rupa. The lens is an idea, a concept.
Yeah. Okay. The lens is a concept, but what I meant is that it's made up of rupa. Okay.
Not really, but there are conditions for a change in the vipaka through the eye sense.
Okay.
Because you could have that surgery and it could be a failure too.
Yes.
But it was a success in your case in the sense. Well, partially, so there you are. So some things are better, some things are not.
Yeah.
For someone else, so it's different.
It's still gum as you should say.
It's still a result of karma,
right.
The moments of seeing.
And you said some things are better, some things are not. We don't know when your eyes was what you thought was bad, which moments were a result of good karma, which moments were a result of bad karma.
Yeah, that's true.
Right? Because it's still there's no understanding about visible object. There's visible object seeing and followed by a lot of thinking. And it's the thinking which is what you're comparing with. Thinking before the operation and thinking after the operation.
But still, everything that is seen is clearer, sharper, brighter,
Not everything. Some moments.
depending
on karma.
concepts that are seen.
What about the person who takes a pill and gets better? No more headache, for example.
Yeah.
Similar thing. It's just a condition for change
in
vipaka.
Okay.
But it does not depend on how much clearer the object is or how bright it is. It depends on understanding.
I mean, after all, with bad eyesight and understanding about visible object and good eyesight, no understanding about visible object, which is better.
It doesn't matter the eyesight. Because it's still, I recognize that it's still a concept. Whether everything's bright or blue, it's still a concept. I recognize.
And the self is there.
Yeah.
Still.
The reason that we can't say that the lens is rupa,
or the lens is made up of rupas, is because it's just an idea. But if there weren't many different rupas, there wouldn't be any idea of a idea of a lens. But actually, there is no lens in reality.
Just from my very beginning understanding, am I right to say that it's a concept and concept and realities are conditioned in a different way. Is it right to classify the concept? It's just like what Ajahn just said, it doesn't rise and concept, it doesn't rise and fall,
But reality is rise and fall all the time and rapidly. And how conditioned, because they're not real. So you said at the beginning about concepts being conditioned, but they're not conditioned because they're only thought about.
Okay.
They're not real. So visible object that's seen mm-hmm. is conditioned, like by temperature,
yeah.
and it arises and falls away. But the concept microphone, it's not real, so it's not conditioned, it's only thought about.
Okay.
So we cannot talk about the arising and falling away of it. The thinking rises and falls away and is conditioned to think about that object, but the microphone or lens isn't conditioned because it never existed and doesn't exist now.
And what is a nimitta, the one that you just talked about, and the nimitta of reality? May I understand more about this part?
Seen now arises and falls away instantly, and afterwards there is attending or thinking about what is seen. But when there's attending or thinking about what is seen, it's not one visible object that's seen, but countless visible objects that have arisen and fallen away that are attended to, that nature of visible object. So it's actually the sign of visible object that's fallen, that is thought about, because the visible object itself fell away long ago. So it's the sign that is attended to. So because those realities arise and fall away so rapidly, they leave a sign that can be understood or thought about rightly or wrongly.
Which leads me to say that in the process of experiencing a reality, seeing visible object, then there's the Vartapanna, which is also the Vartapanna Citta, which is also the Manodvarajana Citta. Is that not correct, Sarah? Or is it the Santirana? No, it's the Vartapanna that makes way for.
So in an idle process,
what the object is experiencing.
So in an idle process, there are many cittas that experience a visible object. So the seeing is a result citta, a vipaka citta, a result of karma that experiences it. And afterwards, the two more result cittas, the sampatichana and the santirana cittas, two more cittas which are the result of karma that experience the visible object. And after they have fallen away, there's another citta which arises, the Vartapanna citta, which just makes way for wholesome or unwholesome cittas to arise and follow, still in the sense door process. So even in the sense door process, usually there's attachment instantly, attachment and ignorance, but there can be kusala, wholesome or unwholesome cittas that arise afterwards, still in the sense door process, and experience that visible object. And only after all those cittas have fallen away, and after a few bhavanga cittas, life continuum cittas, only then there is the mind door process, with the averting to that object that has just fallen away, and then attending to it in a wholesome or unwholesome way in the mind or process, and then many more mind or processes when there is thinking about the shape of that visible object, the color, the details, countless more moments of thinking before there's another sense door process.
And then the two tadaramana, which is the retention. In the out of the 17, the two retentive.
These are just two more cittas that may arise at the end of the process, which are result cittas.
Thank you. And then sometimes it's shorter, but the mokra and the other futile course, so to speak, I use the English.
And why do you want to know about the Tadaramana cittas?
Because we were discussing nimitta, and I wanted to clarification on that, please.
How does it help the clarification?
Nimitta is the marker. Tadaramana is retention.
The Tadaramana are just two more cheetahs that may arise in the sense door process, but no need to think about them when considering the meaning of nimitta.
So, in answer to your question about nimitta, what is seen is not the actual visible object as such, because it arises and falls away so rapidly. What is seen is the image left by the rapid arising and falling away. The simile given in the teachings is of someone holding a fire stick and twirling it around, so it looks as though there's a circle in the air, but in fact it's just one point of. That's the analogy. And what is seen or heard at the present moment is similar. It's the after image of the rapid rising and falling away of the reality. So we use the term nimitta for that. But as Sukhin was, I think, trying to suggest earlier, we just talk about the reality rather than the nimitta in terms of characteristic and so forth.
So nimitta refers to the sign of reality, no matter what that reality is. It's nothing to do with how many cheetahs in the process at all. I think you're complicating it.
So, earlier you were associating
nimitta with sanya. Actually, the meaning of nimitta is the sign of all realities. So sanya itself is with nimitta, has nimitta, leaves a nimitta. Tadaramana citta also leaves a nimitta. So all realities leave nimitta because of the rapid arising and falling away nature of realities.
True only of sense door realities.
Huh? Nimitta, all realities.
No, all realities are not, but only for sense door realities. Only for sense door realities.
We're talking about when a reality is object of consciousness.
Okay, so even if it's not in a sense door, it mm-hmm.
have
a nimitta.
Mm-hmm. Sankara nimitta.
The nimitta of any conditioned reality.
So, Sukhin, thinking about it, I think rather than saying that realities leave an emitter, it's probably better to say that when a reality is experienced, what is experienced is a emitter of the reality.
Yeah. It leaves where? That's a question arises. Where does it leave?
Yeah.
And sometimes we say, realities
condition emitters, but we cannot really refer to nimittas being conditioned because they're not realities, so that's also a little confusing.
And getting back to the twofold classification of realities and concepts, this is a bit rigid because there are aspects of reality that are neither. For example, the characteristics, they're not considered to be dhammas, and they're not considered to be concepts either. Or the conditioning forces, they're aspects of reality, but we don't classify them as dhammas or concepts. So it's not necessary to classify everything as one or the other.
One more point, John, on this from me.
No, if I may. We learned that there can be intellectual understanding of different characteristics of realities, such as hardness or sound, and that firm intellectual understanding can condition direct understanding of characteristics of realities. Instead of saying characteristics of realities, we can say characteristics of nimittas of realities. Thus, direct understanding of characteristics of nimittas of hardness or of sound or whatever appears. Is this correct? Or we can leave out the word nimitta and just...
It doesn't matter. It
doesn't matter at all.
I think it doesn't make sense.
I think they are characteristics of the realities, but the characteristic of the reality is known through the nimitta that is experienced. Yeah.
characteristic of nimitta. That doesn't make sense.
No, not characteristics or nimittas. Nimitta of the characteristic of realities, we can say. Yeah.
Different point.
A question. There was some comment about practice in meditation centers, unlike practice in daily life. And I made a comment, better to avoid practice, otherwise it sounds like one is doing something, and how usually we won't translate patipatti as practice. And he said, why doesn't Khunsu Chin like patipatti to be translated as practice?
Development of understanding.
Development.
And the reason, he says, why don't you like
the word practice? And I said, the reason we don't like it, because it sounds like someone doing something, so it's misleading.
Don't we need a word called patipatti?
Understanding.
Yeah, we do need a word, but I'm thinking now also, is there a problem? Would there be not a problem also if we say, instead of practice, patipatti in daily life? Is that what you would characterize what we do here as, patipatti in daily life?
What we do?
I mean, yeah.
Because usually we think of patipatti as doing.
Right, that's the mistake. But if you think of
because
coming
it's not
here,
the Pali,
right.
Yeah, you wouldn't do that.
If you
that,
think of coming here for patipatti, that's wrong.
Yeah. I mean, he's trying to make a distinction between the other idea of practice, or the other practice, going somewhere, and what we understand. And he's saying, he started by saying that that's practice there, and this is practice in daily life. But I would have a problem, even if not the word practice, but even if you say patipatti in daily life, why say that?
We can use patipatti in daily life, but they're misunderstanding, because they take it for doing something all the time.
We would like to understand the word practice, right? Instead of talking about practice as doing something, we'd like to understand the word practice. Isn't it, Achan?
Are you now practicing?
It's just listening and trying to understand, that's it.
So it's not practicing?
No.
And the other one that I thought was...
Oh yes, this is actually from the translation in Survey, where it's written, through the practice one shall directly understand the truth in accordance with da 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 da. And a bit later it says, we shall not follow a practice which is other than da da da, referring to patipatti. So I mentioned that practice isn't the right word to use. It says in the book, through the practice one shall directly understand, and we shall not follow a practice other than, but it makes it sound like following a practice.
Yes,
so
but
not...
I do not know whether it's the translation.
Yes, so anyway, better to find another way to say it, I think.
Sio Kundung Den, because he...
But Chani, it is also possible to get the meaning of practice here as... the Noble Eightfold Path or the Fivefold Path as distinct from wrong practice, wrong paths, isn't it?
This is the very different, very difficult one, because I think that the understanding is the best thing, and since it's the Pali term and Thai and English, and we have different understanding.
Yes.
For example, patipatti, the Thai thing, that is doing something,
yes,
or practicing.
And the same thing.
Yeah, and the patipatti in Pali is not like that.
No. Nothing to do with doing or practicing. So
any words like doing or practicing is not wrong. And even if it's the idea of coming here to practice or to understand, it's not correct, because it has to be understanding any time, any place. It's not a matter of doing anything at all.
But we do come here to listen to Dhamma, right? So maybe that's all we can say. And then we are encouraged to understand
better.
Better. Every word, everything yeah. we hear.
Yeah. So now we are going to study and understand more about the word Patipatti in Pali language. No one practices at all because it's the function of sati and panya at level of understanding the pariyatti so well that it cannot make a mistake by sitting and doing something and take it for practicing.
Even if there is idea of coming
here and practicing, it's wrong because right understanding arises at a moment, any place, any time. So if there is right considering at this moment, it is panya. If there's wrong understanding at this moment, then it's wrong understanding. So it's at a moment. If it's an idea that here there will be more understanding, it's not right. I don't think like that.
Conditions comes to mind.
Each moment, each dharma, because otherwise it's like the story of the lens. It's an idea of a situation, a place, a time, again. So I never think about I'm coming here to have more understanding like
but
that.
But you come here to listen to that.
For many different reasons, because Kundung Dun invited me to come and very encouraged me to come very much. Yeah.
Come to what?
Yeah. Yeah,
to listen
yeah.
to them.
Who knows about conditions at each moment?
To understand better.
Yeah, at a moment.
See, we do come here to listen to Dharma, but we're not saying that Panya will arise, and it's by conditions, as Achan say, whatever will arise. So I think it's all right to say that we come here to listen to Dharma, and whatever other motivations is other motivations, but we do plan to come here to listen
and
to Dharma.
It's wrong to say that to have more understanding.
And to have more understanding...
by hearing.
Because we know that understanding can be developed. Understanding is at the level of hearing, at the level of practice, at the level of Pativeda. But, so, yes, we can say that we come here to develop more understanding. Although we know that it's beyond control, but that is hearing is a condition for understanding to develop. Without hearing, there can't be understanding. So we can say we come to understand better.
To
understand.
Yeah. Any word, any time.
I see it as for the development of understanding, it's important to hear the Dhamma. And it's a long time, many, many, many lifetimes.
No one denies that the hearing is really important, but it's particularly the wise considering of what is heard, and that wise considering can be anywhere, anytime. Otherwise one limits it. One thinks if there's a problem, if one doesn't get to the foundation, or one thinks if one listens for 10 hours, it's better than 1 hour. But actually it's the kind of considering that's important.
And there's danger on both ends. I mean, someone might also conclude, I mean, if I can be allowed to say the opposite, is that someone who says that understanding can arise anytime, so no need to go to hear a chan, right? And then never come. You know, there's also that
that person doesn't have any interest in coming. So their reasoning is just a rationalization, but you have interest. So whether you think that there will be understanding or not is actually the interest in the teachings that is the motivating factor. If your motivating factor is to gain more understanding, then it's not really the right reason to put it that way, but it's the interest in the subject matter.
I'm talking about people who actually have had moments of understanding, but are what do you call it in English? In Thai it's called pramad.
So, careless.
Huh?
Careless.
Careless. And
think they've heard enough.
They've heard enough, and you know, so that danger can be either way. On one hand, you're saying that being attached to the idea of coming and thinking that it's there'll be
and
result.
Again and
yeah, but I'm actually what I'm saying is that to hear the Dhamma from someone, you have to think about hearing. To come here, listen to a chant, you have to think and plan to come.
Yeah.
So,
well, normally, yes, not always, but still, normally there's thinking involved.
Yeah, there would be. Right?
But the thinking is not sufficient to get to hearing the Dhamma, is it?
No.
Just one piece of the whole pattern of events.
Right, you have to think about a lot of things. And of course, what you're saying is that and thinking can actually arise anytime. It can, and you may not even end up being here. So other things can happen. But what I'm saying, there's nothing wrong with thinking about coming to listen to Dhamma, since you know, see the value of Dhamma, as you say. Right?
There's nothing wrong about thinking about coming to hear Dhamma, and there's nothing wrong about thinking about, like, we're going out to Taipei to talk about Dhamma. Nothing wrong about thinking about going for a swim. Each Dhamma, each citta is conditioned, and there can be understanding any time. That's the point. It always has to come back to this moment. Otherwise, if one thinks that if only I was in the other place or listening to a jhana, there'd be more understanding or something, it's quite wrong. Like, for example, the friend in America who's sick in the hospital, she might think she would like to be here, but actually being in the hospital is no hindrance to the development of understanding if there is the wise considering.
Of course, and while thinking about the importance of listening to Dhamma, that does not mean there's the idea that there cannot be understanding when there's no chance to hear them. That does not mean it. That's just a reflection of seeing the value of listening. Right?
And the point is that without the understanding of the words of the Buddha, it's impossible to understand reality. So it's impossible to think by oneself or to just consider and think that that is enough. Why is it enough? But actually, it's not at all.
I can't help the thing that comes up for me is just that it was wrong view, saying, well, why bother coming, you know?
What is wrong view?
No, Shukin gave an example earlier of the person who thinks, not necessary to keep hearing the same thing over and over again. I've heard it already. That's enough.
What about the understanding?
Wrong understanding, that moment.
Hear what and understand what, see? One might think that one understands what one heard, but actually it's that understanding, or just only thinking about, with or without understanding, as Buddha said. It's quite difficult to eradicate the idea of self. So one thinks that one can do without the teachings or the understanding.
And it doesn't, that hearing the teachings doesn't mean one has to be here and listening to a jhana, because there are other ways, like we have friends on our discussion list who are very interested. They may never have met or have an opportunity, but they can still be, it can be different ways. Another comment in Nina's book, which I picked up, which I want to mention, which is a little bit related to this. She mentioned that a jhana follows the middle way. And she said, well, you play Scrabble, see friends, watch TV, listen to the Dhamma. She mentioned different activities. But of course, in reality, no one follows the middle way at the moments of understanding. It is the middle way, but when there's ignorance and attachment, there's no following the middle way. So this idea of someone following the middle way by following different normal activities,
it sounds a bit... What is the middle way?
Exactly. It's just a moment of understanding.
The understanding.
So you cannot say someone follows the middle way, I think. That was the point.
I'm correctly put. Nina might say that Ajahn understands the meaning of what the Buddha meant when he spoke about the middle way. Because most people will think that studying the Dhamma involves some kind of ascetic practices. And she's trying to make the point that a person can lead an ordinary household life and still be developing understanding.
But the idea that someone, a jhana, or anyone follows the middle way, it's a bit like the idea, when I hear it, that someone practices or someone does something, it's like they, even if that practice is playing Scrabble and watching TV and listening to Dharma, it's still the idea of someone following or practicing rather than just talking about the middle way. Because like now in the Dharma discussion at moments of attachment, it's not hearing the Dharma. It's not considering the Dharma at moments of attachment now. It's not the middle way. Because it's just a moment. It's just a moment of right understanding of the path of reality. Because there's a lot of misunderstanding about what is meant by the middle way. People think the middle way means, oh, not...
just follow.
Yeah, just follow, get not wearing too many beautiful clothes, but not living in the temple, but living an ordinary life. But actually, no one follows the middle way.
It's a bit like talking about people keeping the precepts.
Many follow, not.
So you wouldn't use this expression.
I think that she didn't talk about understanding. The most important thing.
But can
we... without understanding, it cannot be made aware.
Yes.
But when there is understanding, any moment.
But can't we interpret Nina's comment as along this the lines that because you understand the middle way, you don't have problem playing Scrabble or doing anything.
We can say that middle way is understanding of reality at any time.
It's not someone who understands the middle way. It is at a moment of when right understanding arises, it is the middle way at that moment. Because if you talk about someone following the middle way or jhana understanding the middle way, that is not the understanding of middle way at that moment at all. And it's misleading because it gives people the idea of someone doing something, even if it's someone understanding middle way. It's not.
Ajahn, can we talk about someone understanding the path in a conventional sense? Means we talk about people who have understand. This person has understanding of that. Although we understand that it's not all moments.
All depends on understanding, because we hear different word, and it depends on one's own understanding. Mm-hmm. When the person that person does not have understanding at all, just read about midway, then that person thinks that he follows the right way, but actually no understanding at all.
So can we talk about who actually...
We can say that the middle path is the moment of understanding whatever appears there at any time.
Right, that's a moment of right understanding.
This is clear because it's only... understanding itself.
But we do talk about people who have accumulated
this understanding. This includes everyone because it's right understanding of anything at any time.
And this is the patipatti that doesn't depend on being here at this moment. It could any time that there can be that middle way, that moment of understanding. But it's not someone who understands the middle way at all.
No, this is a discussion about people. When people bring up the fact that you play Scrabble and do anything, so in terms of such situation, can we talk about, for example, you as having enough understanding?
So it is not me. It's the understanding.
It's the understanding.
Of reality
accumulated
at
understanding.
Any time, it's the middle way. Understand the truth of reality at that moment. As it is, it's middle way.
Because on the other hand, we talk about people who have wrong understanding and then have the idea of doing something in particular or trying not to have lokha.
But the way to explain very correct and very short is the middle way is the understanding
because
of
that,
the nature
in reality,
of
that is
at
the
any
middle
time.
Way. That is the meaning of the middle way, that that I understand.
And of right understanding or
Not dependent. So what would be your response to someone who brought this thing up.
I would say, what is the purpose of talking about people? This person who has understanding, this person who has wrong understanding, this monk who has wrong view, this one. What is the point of talking about people? Because how does that help anyone to understand dhammas as anatta? It's just like the lens story again. The purpose of the discussing the Buddha's teachings is to understand dhammas as anatta, not to understand which person is a good person and which person is a bad person. Because when we think about people like this, it just leads to more and more attachment, more and more clinging to this one, more aversion to that one, more and more misunderstanding. So I don't talk to people about, oh, Khunsu Chin is the one with good understanding, that's the one with wrong. I don't talk like that.
I mean, that's like getting into their trap, you know, they...
It doesn't help them to understand anything about dharmas. And another question Nina had, about which is related to this, about directing realities. She said, I got a question, which we also had before, not helpful to try to direct realities, but people ask, when going to a meditation center or to Dharma sessions, is that not the same, directing cheetahs in a certain way? So it's the same point, that when we think about people or think about deciding to come here, if it's not the understanding of Dharmas, it's always the idea of directing or doing something.
But there's also one difference. In the case of practice, as in going to a meditation center, there is no understanding about the three rounds of the Four Noble Truths, how understanding is developed. Whereas coming to listen to Dhamma, there may be. One may be admitting to not having understanding and just want to hear and understand. Whereas that is, not even having the understanding at the level of understanding, but going straight to what's actually the result, the step up from the level
of... But that's not actually answering her question, which was... Ajahn, we always say when people go to a meditation center and they try to focus on an object or they go there, it's
what
the idea...
What about when they do not go to meditation but try to focus?
It's still the idea of trying to do or trying to practice, and or the idea that the meditation center or that object is the right way. And what they say, Nina says, what they say back to her is, oh, well, isn't it the same when we come here, because it's, like you said, trying to have understanding, something like this?
All depends on understanding. Because when there's understanding, we come here to talk about Dhamma, see, to have more understanding. Otherwise, we wouldn't come. But the idea of self, it depends on understanding how much is there or how less it is.
And that's why it's so important to talk about dharmas, not Ajahn has understanding or Ajahn follows the middle way and this one is the wrong one because this one goes to the meditation center, because it doesn't help at all. It just increases the idea of someone and the idea of attachment to a certain person. So instead of talking about Ajahn's teaching or Ajahn's middle way, there has to be the beginning of understanding of Dhamma now. And that's like your question in the van about the city or the country. It's just conditioned Dhamma.
So it's the characteristic of realities, all realities, anattaness. Rather than saying I have the intention of eradicating the concept of self, it's counter, it's going the opposite direction, further into ignorance.
It doesn't depend on the word we use, but it depends on understanding. But I think that Queen Nan used many terms on people. Khun Sarah, Khun Nina, Khun Jonathan, and Khun Sujin are there in her book.
But if there's no one there, and talk about Dhamma, it's better. Maybe if you'd like the reader to come and join in hearing that.
Well, I think Nina likes to quote what you've said and then explain it further, so obviously she
but no
refers
matter,
to your name.
No need, I think. No need that I say. Just about what the truth is there.
Maybe to avoid such situations.
She doesn't want to
misrepresent, though. She
no,
feels that.
It's her own understanding when she heard. So she can write anything about the truth.
Right.
Yeah.
But I tell some people do have that kind of accumulation. They like to
talk about.
No, that means not talk about, but avoiding the miss.
But that is not the way to understand the teaching. Mm-hmm. It just follow me, like
it's
I said.
Me. Yeah, some people don't want to credit give you know themselves, but you know want to rightly at that point. That I wouldn't know this if it wasn't for a chant, you know, that kind of thing. But it's not necessary.
No, but it's not that. I mean, it's
not from a chant, but from the right
teachings.
Words,
yeah.
The teachings.
But it's one thing if one's quoting, and it's another thing it's one's own writing. When it's one's own writing, and one says, oh, she follows the middle way, that's one's own writing. So it's not. One can put it as according to one's understanding.
No, I had a problem too the other day. We were reading something from one of her books, and she said something like a chant teaches practice in daily life, and I questioned, and a chant said no. Yeah. I don't think a chant would think like that.
That is the problem and the point. If she just leave all this, it's better. Her own understanding when she writes.
I've never heard a Jan say that. She says it's necessary to accumulate many moments of reading, listening, studying, and considering. When we study the Dhamma in detail, we collect ingredients. But again, there can be reading and listening with or without understanding. So people can have the idea that they're accumulating reading or listening. They have the idea that the more reading and listening, the better. But this is, or the more time with a jhana, the better. But this isn't the right way, because the study is not the amount of time with a jhana, or the amount of trips one goes to India, or the amount of time one spends at the foundation. It has to be the understanding at this moment that accumulates, not the reading or listening.
Oh, reading with understanding is different from reading
without understanding.
Or reading the word the other person say and think that it's true.
Yes. So it's not a matter of the amount of reading or accumulating reading, even if it's of a Dhamma talk. And the same with listening to a recording of a jhana. It's not about people can listen to the recording with their own attachment to the voice or anything. So it's not a matter of...
Because I talk about Dhamma and I just spoke the word of the Buddha, that's all. Not just me who speaks.
But the point is it's the accumulation of understanding that is precious, not the reading the book or the listening to the recordings or the attending to the foundation or any other activity.
And when one understands, it's one's own work, that's all.
Yes, because I can't always have the benefit of contact with Sarah, Sukima, John, Jonathan, and so on. Understanding, development of understanding is the key word, and it's the truth, it's ultimate reality, so it's not negotiable, it's not debatable, it's pure understanding is there, it's developed. So to be, say, well, it's contingent that I have contact with Kunsukin or Sarah or Ajahn, that's just attachment.
And it always has to be at this very moment. So like in the van, there was a discussion about living in the city or the countryside, being here or being there. But it always comes back to seeing now, hearing now, thinking now. There can be understanding any time at all. And the more understanding, the more confidence there is that it's right. So the less one thinks in terms of this situation or another situation. Like I don't distinguish whether I'm turning on the TV or reading the Dharma book, because understanding can be then and there, any time at all. Always back to now, in this moment.
No matter who says, I think that it's not right to say, this person said this, this person said that, this person said this. What about one's own understanding? No matter who says.
And it leads to arguments and different opinions, or those people don't like what she says, or he says this, or it
and
doesn't
sometimes
help anything.
I didn't say at all, but they say, I say, it's better to leave me out.
But it's different when we say it's the Buddha, when we refer to the Buddha, because the Buddha
from
is the
where
Buddha.
See, not just what did he say, but from where. Yeah.
About what he would have said. We had some discussions before about chanda, which means interest, and how it's more appropriate to talk about wholesome or unwholesome interest rather than zeal or wishing or some of these other words which are often used in English. But in the text, for example, when it defines chanda, it uses a term, katu kamataya, and katu kamayata. Katu kama means willing to do. Katu kamayata means like desire to do. So it sounds like kama, like sense, desire, or desire to do. So when one looks at the Pali, it seems to suggest like a...
That's why we need considering, very, very careful to understand the difference between willing chanda and jetana.
Yeah,
see?
Intention.
Yeah, so we cannot just follow the words, yeah. But we can understand better when we can understand the difference. Jetana is that which has intention, which intends to do. We can use many, many words, as we know, to help people to understand. But the reality of jetana is not the reality of chanda.
Right.
To use the word very similar or almost leading to the same meaning.
Yeah.
So it's one's own understanding.
Yes, yes. It has to be. One has to consider it carefully. And also because one knows that Chaitana is the one that coordinates or wills the other chaitasikas. Chanda doesn't have that function of coordinating or willing, so it cannot be that. It's just that when we looked at the Pali, the term katu kama, katu kamayata, it sounds more like desire or willing than interest, but
we can understand that when considered without this, how can there be the coordination?
Yeah.
See, without jetana, because jetana
has to coordinate.
So it has its own will.
Yes.
To coordinate.
Yes, jetana does. Yeah. Yes. So, yeah, chanda is different. Yes.
Chetana.
And one has to consider when it arises. And
but.
So chaitana arises at every moment. So it's that chaitasika which coordinates the other chaitasikas and the chitas which arise at each moment and experience the object.
So
chanda doesn't have that function.
When there is chanda, interest in Dharma, and chedana, willing to go to Dharma, so to speak, this is wholesome.
So at a moment when there is understanding, at that moment it's the chaitana which coordinates the other chaitasikas and the chitta in a wholesome way and wills them to be wholesome at that moment. But it's the chanda which has an interest in that object, For example, you mentioned that you were tired in the van, but because of interest in the topic, that is chanda.
One question, Achan. So, Achan, what's the intention Chaitanya coordinates the different dhammas, co-arising dhammas, and the meaning of intention? What is the
because
similarity?
What's as much the relationship? As we can understand in daily life, I want to, I intend to. So we have to know that it's so common. Chaitanya is there all the time to pick something or to raise up your hand or something. Yeah, whatever is done.
Right, and the fact that it coordinates other dhammas, what's the relationship between intention and coordinating?
For example, at moment of seeing, is that Chaitanya?
Yes, it is coordinating the different
and other chaitasikas?
Yes.
Just coordinating them.
So intention, at that moment, no intention? I mean, no function of intention? So
at that moment of seeing, the Chaitanya is just coordinating the other, because it's result. So it's just coordinating the other cheetahs and cheetah seekers at that moment, but it's not willing them in a wholesome or unwholesome way.
So the meaning of intention only applies to when it's the
Kusala.
Javana, Kusala or Nakusala.
In daily life, as much as we can understand. But actually, even when it's not Kusala and Akusala, it coordinate, and it has the will to coordinate.
The will to coordinate. So the meaning of intention is still there, because will is also intention.
Yeah, intention.
Will to coordinate, but just not in a Kusala or a Kusala way.
Only that.
Because it's result.